The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we are back, the second half of the show. It's been really a good one so far, and we're not done yet, as they say in show business. Legend is next.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call, my friend. Sorry I missed you in Birmingham this weekend. I heard you was everywhere, man.
I was, and I'll be right back there next week, so we will catch up.
All right, let's do that. Let's do that. Hey, Paul, the Colts went with Anthony Richardson. You know, at the end of the day, I'm not happy that they didn't move up and get Bryce Young, who I felt was a generational quarterback in this draft. Patrick Mahomes, 2.0. But at the end of the day, I was just glad we didn't draft Will Levis, Paul. I thought that was the funniest thing, him sitting in the green room waiting to get drafted. I mean, that girl was awful close to him the first 10 pick, but when it got up to about number 20, she started looking for somebody else in the room, I think. I don't know. She got further and further from him.
Yeah, she looked, know, she looked around and said, I said, I mean, he went first, what, in the second round or first or second? But, yeah, it was still pretty bad, though.
Yeah, when you look at that AFC South, the future is going to be Anthony Richardson with the Colts, Will Levis with the Titans, C.J. Stroud with the Texans. And Trevor Lawrence with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's I know who I like there.
Who you like? Probably Lawrence Trevor.
I do. Yeah. I think he's amazing.
Let me ask you a straight-up question, and I don't want all the things that all the other folks, experts, say about if you built the quarterback, it'd be Anthony Richardson and all this. I want a straight-up answer from you, considering what Shane Steichen did with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. I never thought Jalen Hurts would be one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL, so I think he worked a miracle with him. In 3 years, is Anthony Richardson a superstar or a bust? It's a simple question, one way or the other. What's your answer?
I would go against him.
Yeah, most folks would. Man, I'm praying. As a Colt fan, I'm praying. Help us, Lord, help us.
I really thought the only two quarterbacks that went in the first round I would have wanted to spend a lot of money on were the first two. I think C.J. Stroud is excellent, and I think Bryce Young is slightly better because he checks every single box where I don't think C.J. quite does. But they're both cut above everyone else. I don't see Anthony Richardson in that class.
Well, I disagree. I would have took Richardson second because you couldn't give me an Ohio State quarterback.
Well,
and don't yell
right.
Joe Burrow because that's all LSU in my opinion.
Well, I just legend. In some of it, he was within 5 yards of me in Atlanta for the semifinals, and I was talking to Tebow during a break, and he was just minor things that I don't understand like a quarterback would that he was pointing out about his technique, and Tebow said it's the best throwing motion that he's ever seen in terms of hand, and I am impressed with him, and I don't hold it against somebody where they went to college.
Well, I don't either. You also had to consider he was throwing the four number one draft picks at the wide receiver.
No, this was in warm-ups, though. So he was just talking about pure fundamentals, pure techniques, throwing motion. I think Bryce has it over everyone. That's obvious. That's why the Panthers once again have mortgaged their franchise on a number one pick.
Yeah, I mean, and I think they did a great thing. I mean, you have to do it sometimes, you know. I thought the Titans did good. The Texans did good with getting, Will Anderson Jr. to anchor their defense.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, Paul, I'm not happy today, though. I had to go to the bank this morning and get out $500 and pay a man. I made a bet that Stetson Bennett wouldn't be drafted before the seventh round, and guess what? The elf on the shelf screwed me again.
Yeah. Legend, you just have to learn. You can't bet against him. He's, I mean, Stetson Bennett, like him or not, has broken a lot of hearts and banks.
Especially he broken my bank account. That's what the hell. He got me with a sign out of the side of the road. I'll work for Stetson Bennett money. My Lord. You know, I hear all these Georgia fans talk about Alabama ain't developing players. But I think there's now two Georgia quarterbacks in the NFL, and they both play for the same team. I mean, and who's their best receiver in the NFL? Hartman? And who's the best tight end? I mean,
Legend, I have to ask you a question that you're talking around, and it's the big topic du jour. I heard it all weekend in your state, and that's what's going on in the quarterback room at Alabama.
Well, I mean, I've made it plain on this show, Paul, and if you really wanted an Alabama beat writer, I would be your man for sure.
You can be.
Because I'm going to tell it like it is, and I'm not going to buttercoat it. I'm not going to be like Mike Griffin. If you pay me more money, I'll be telling you how great Vanderbilt is later on this evening. I'm not a traitor and a two-faced like him. I'm a real fan. So just let me tell you this. Nick Saban and I both knew I had a talk with one of my Nick Saban fatheads after I watched that A game, and I just said, hey, dude, let's face it. I'm just playing about the fathead, but I do talk to it from time to time. But I said, hey, Nick, let's just face it. We don't have a championship quarterback. I love Tyler Buckner. We tried to get him out of high school. I know he ain't been great, but he's going to be better in that offense than anybody that we got down there. And somebody told me, well, Jalen Milroe, he's this, he's that. I watched the A-Day game. He could have thrown six interceptions in that game.
No, tell me this, though. I heard a lot of people talking about Ty Simpson, more upbeat on him than the public was after the game.
Just didn't impress me, Paul.
Okay.
Just did not impress me. I'll just be honest. He just didn't impress me in the game. The way he moves in the pocket and the things he does, it just does not impress me. Tyler Buckner is a running out-of-the-pocket scrambling quarterback. And this day and age in the NFL and college football, you got to have somebody that can get out of the pocket and roam and make plays. Jalen Milroe is that quarterback, but the problem is in the next play, he'll throw it to the other team. If Tyler Buckner cuts down his interceptions and his mistakes with all the talent that he's got around him, and Alabama's got NFL players at receiver, tight end, offensive line, everywhere on the field but quarterback. If he becomes the quarterback that Nick thinks he can be, because, Paul, you know Nick ain't making that move if he don't believe in him. Do you agree with that or not?
Well, I believe in it in principle, but sometimes principle goes out the window after a disastrous A-Day.
Paul, I'm going to have to get you back on the boat with some Little Debbies and get your belief back.
No, I mean, you're trying to sell me a guy on the discount rack in terms of where he was last week. And I think you're over. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you wanted when Buckner was a prospect. Yeah, I know Alabama wanted him. But what matters is what has he done so far? He's had time to do it. And yeah, he'll have better talent at Alabama, but that doesn't mean he's going to be any different.
Well, what he has is 2 years' experience in Tommy Reese's offense.
Okay.
And I want to tell you something. Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson. Do what?
I said, what's so impressive about Tommy Reese's offense?
Well, it's not that it's impressive, but it was clear to me that Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson was lost in it. Completely.
Well, that's true. I would agree with you on that. Now, I would also ask you whose fault is that? If you're a coordinator, you better work with what you have and not try to stuff your system down their throat.
Well, Paul, when I was a coach in prison and won two state championships, I learned something real quick. No matter how great a coach you are, if the player you coaching ain't got the talent, you are wasting your time about being elite and being great. It's going to take an elite athlete an elite player, and I'm telling you, of the three, Tyler Buchner is the one that might just be that guy.
Legend, don't forget, though, that Simpson hurt himself on the first play of the game, and he was off the rest of the game. What I'm telling you is what I heard before the game, that day-to-day in practice, he really wasn't a bad quarterback. He was doing pretty well, and then that game changed a lot of things. But you can believe in Buchner, and I hope he has a great career.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, because if he don't, I'm going to be doing a lot of damn crying.
That's great. Legend, I have never heard Legend that down, have you?
No.
I mean, $500, we
on
can...
the Elf on the Shelf?
You gambled material on the Elf on the Shelf, and you get burned again. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. Dale is up next in Colorado. Hello, Dale.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
And I think Hugger may be buying him a house on the sidelines in Philly. But Paul, do you think that's just a coincidence that Philly has drafted all these Georgia players, or do you think it's just maybe Rosen recognizes talent?
I don't think it's a coincidence. But I will say some coaches – gravitate to other programs for a long time, and really even recently, Bill Belichick used to draft a lot of Alabama players because you get information from the coaches that you're not getting from other people, maybe.
Right, it's kind of funny, to me that Rosen graduated from Florida. You know, he's drafting all these Georgia players. Thank you, Paul. Have a good day.
Dale, thank you. It also is a fact that Georgia has produced more talent than anyone else, and it shouldn't be too surprising that the players are going everywhere. Rick is in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Good afternoon, Paul. So Sunday, Ronnie Rance and Lynn Rollins were calling the LSU-Alabama game, and they got to talking about nicknames for Dylan Cruz and Tommy White, and but I wanted to ask you, what do you think was, in your mind, what's the greatest SEC nickname in history?
Ooh. Let's let that one marinate for a minute before I commit, because there are endless possibilities. What do you think?
Well, I thought, Honey Badger was great for Tyron, but my personal favorite was the Rustin Rifle for Burt Jones.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really good one.
As an
LSU fan. Of course, the Minister of Defense for Reggie White was pretty great, but I think that was pinned on him afterwards.
Yeah, I liked Round Mound of Rebound. That was Barkley in his college
days.
That
was awesome.
Yeah. That's a great question, though.
Of course, Thunder and Lightning was great for Raphael and Will.
Yeah.
Paul, have a great day.
Thank you.
Great.
I don't know whether Frank Thomas did he get big hurt at Auburn? Did that come later? I don't know. But it is an interesting question on a May Day, which it is. Let's check out Anthony in Augusta, Georgia. Hello, Anthony.
How you doing, Paul?
We are well, thank you.
I've been trying to get in for a while. It's been be in a minute. Then I just hear a legend got his hopes on the Tyler Buschner bringing Alabama back.
Legend is so excited about Tyler Buchner. He thinks he is the real deal, and he is all in. And he was saying to himself or to his Nick Saban fathead, that's the guy we need. Now, my question back to Alabama is, had they gone after Sam Hartman harder in the portal, would they have gotten him in December? But they didn't go after him, apparently aggressively enough. I think they were hoping that Drake Mays was going to make the switch back to Alabama. And so Hartman goes to Notre Dame, opening the way for Buchner to come to Alabama.
And I don't and he seems excited.
Well,
Anthony,
this is just an observation, but I heard fear in Legend.
Yeah. I actually, I did, Paul. Just right after the national championship, he was going on about after we played TCU, he was going on about how it was a fluke and about who we played and the schedule and, you know, a whole bunch of excuses. Until I heard him just now, I wasn't even, because the day I really was going to call about it, I was going to be like, well, Alabama, I heard, you know, Saban the greatest said 21 was a rebuild year. So 22 was supposed to be that year, right? And it didn't turn out like that. But then I get to the draft and they had 10 people drafted out of Alabama, 10 people drafted out of Georgia. We had 15 the prior year, and we won the back-to-back. And I was like, what kind of year was 22 for Alabama? If they couldn't win with Bryce Young, but now they're excited by Tyler
Anthony,
Buschner.
How many coaches have had three of the first 12 players taken in the draft and didn't win their division? Now, that's what I was thinking Thursday night.
Yeah, that's exactly. Until I heard him, that's what I was coming with, and I don't think I never saw that. Three out of the first 12 picks.
I mean, that's on. Alabama had the best offensive player and the best defensive player in the draft.
Yes, and I heard that all of at the end of 21 that we didn't. We got away. They'll be back. They had the best player on offense, best player on defense, and the draft kind of bears that out, I think. And they couldn't win their division. I'm thinking about today.
And by the way, they didn't lose to a generational team. Let's say LSU from 4 years ago. They lost to a team that ultimately lost four games.
Yes. So my question is now, does that, and I would never disrespect Nick Saban, greatest coach ever.
No one would.
What does that say? Is it philosophy? Because clearly they had talent. They had 10 people drafted. Georgia had 10 people drafted. They had a generational talent at quarterback. And I know they like to talk about
Anthony. I'm not making excuses for Nick Saban, but I think he had an inferior coaching staff, two coordinators who made terrible decisions during games in recruiting, and it cost him. A couple of mistakes were made along the way, and Bryce Young did not have Bryce Young did not have the deserving talent at wide receiver. Had he had it, give Saban credit. He went out and brought in Jahmyr Gibbs, who was a great running back, but he didn't bring in wide receivers that helped Bryce Young. And instead, Bryce Young had to do everything. Jeff is next, and he had a terrible defensive coordinator, but that's already been established. Jeff is in Columbus, Ohio, next.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there, Jeff.
Hey, can you get a hold of Amazon Prime 1 hour service and get some hip waiters down to Legend down there? I mean, that guy was talking so much bull crap. Hell, he's got to have stains up on his knees and white socks, Paul, with all the bull crap he was spewing in that phone call. I mean, if he truly believes Buckner's the answer, he doesn't know football squat like he thinks he does. And what does Legend do? Does he ever win a bet? I mean, seriously, Paul, have you ever heard of Legend winning a bet with football?
Not lately. Not in basketball either.
No. And he talks about all this knowledge he has and this and that. He doesn't know squat. He just likes to hear himself talk, Paul. I mean, if he's going to take Anthony Richardson over C.J. Stroud, he would be the only one in the country that would have said that. And he's saying just because he's an Ohio State quarterback. Hell, half the analysts were trying to use that against Stroud, Paul. How long has Ryan Day been at Ohio State? A few years?
About 4 or 5 years, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What's his track record with NFL quarterbacks? It's pretty damn good.
It
who
is.
Cares about, yeah, who cares about before that? I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, back when Urban or Earl Bruce or, you know, everybody else, John Cooper, nobody, I mean, it doesn't matter in today's, evaluation. But when you've got Haskins, Fields, and now Stroud, that's not too bad for a track record for a head coach, in my opinion. But
no, you heard what I said.
I did.
I mean, to me, Stroud, I think the intangibles got Bryce Young over the top. The personality.
Hey,
I got no
problem with Young going
right.
number one.
But
Paul.
But I don't think the distance between Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud was that large.
No, and you could even tell how much I didn't realize until after I saw some of the highlights from the draft. How close and how much those two guys respect each other. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that's
you know, I know
that,
they're both
that's
in
been
California.
Well known for a while inside the Beltway, so to speak.
Right. I didn't realize that. And that was pretty cool. I like that. But hey, Paul, I had to wonder, have you had your show signed off on by the Manning family yet?
I don't believe so,
I mean,
no.
It sure sounds like you got to get signed off these days by the Manning family. Have you noticed that?
I have not. I must have missed something.
Well, I mean, they kept that one ESPN guru said that he thought Levis was going to the Colts because the Manning family had already signed off on the pick.
Oh, okay.
How'd that go for that guy? And then they said C.J. Stroud was going to drop in the draft because the Manning family was upset that he didn't attend the passing academy. I mean, these analysts, Paul. Are you even going to allow guys on next year to talk about the draft before the draft happens? Is it obvious they don't know what they're talking about? They're just guessing. I mean, what did you think?
I think you're right. I think they are guessing. And by the way, the ESPN's top NFL analyst is the one who started the love affair with Will Levis.
Yeah, and I heard a lot of guys in the media on Saturday and Sunday. Basically, they were embarrassed for the guys that were running, you know, that were touting all this stuff. I mean, it was really pathetic this year, I thought. I thought it was over the top bad. When they started saying the Manning family had to sign off on certain picks, I mean, come on. What GM is ever going to allow that to be that deciding factor when you think about it?
Not one, that's trying to win a Super Bowl.
No, hell no. But anyway, Paul, I just had to call in. But will you please order some hip waiters for Legend? Because he's standing a bunch of bull crap right there wherever he's at. And
I have done so, Jeff, and I put it on your Amazon Prime account. You'll be getting the notification on your Visa bill any second now. We take a break. Bill Bender, always spitting out knowledge.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hardmints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and the draft is over, and the headlines have been in cement with Alabama and Georgia leading the way. Bill Bender from the Sporting News joining us. Always good to talk to Bill. Bill, thanks you so very, very much. We're curious your thoughts on the influence and impact of Alabama and Georgia on the draft.
Well, I mean, it's not just this year. It's the last 4 years. Georgia, 41 players taking. I think the Eagles drafted all of them. I mean, every other time they get a value pick from Georgia. It's been very good. Alabama, obviously, this has been going on for 10 years. This is four times in 10 years where they've had the most players either tied or the most players outright. So no coincidence that these are the number one and number two programs going into next season.
Bill, is there anything to read into what Kirby Smart is doing? Some of it's self-evident. He's won two in a row, played for another one. Saban is there, but how do you differentiate these two programs, not in from a recent historical standpoint, but today and moving forward?
Well, I think it started with Georgia beating Alabama 2 years ago and the psychological of breaking that drought. And then last year, I think of all the stories last year, what struck me most is that Kirby Smart talked afterward after beating TCU about having a scout team defense run that 3-3-5 defense, and they probably ran it better than TCU at that point with all the talent that they had. They've just collected so much 4- and 5-star talent that see Kirby going anywhere. And right now, I watched their spring game. They've got guys all over the place. A loss on their schedule the first 10 games, it doesn't really get interesting until they play Tennessee.
It does not, which brings us to Alabama. And we all know Nick Saban's record. We all know the dynasty. But many people around the country were puzzled the other day when Tyler Buckner committed. What does that mean to you? And really, how do you handicap Alabama next year, knowing that there are now 5 scholarship quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, they're not short on talent on the overall roster, but if you want to talk just about the quarterbacks, puzzled about anything, it was just the speed in which Tyler Buckner happened. A guy that I think the key for this race, and I do think it'll come down to Milroe Buckner, is the guy that can push it down the field to these receivers. And on passes of 10 yards or more last year, Tyler Buckner was 10 of 28. Jalen Milroe, obviously, it's a much smaller sample. So it's the guy that can get the ball in those guys' hands. I do like Justice Haynes, the 5-star freshman that they have, 3 touchdowns in the spring game. But there's some level of pressure on Alabama. I mean, a 3-year national championship drought, I mean, heaven forbid that happens. But there definitely is some pressure with Georgia being on top and Alabama, I don't want to say trying to catch him, but trying to get back on top.
But it does look like they're trying to nose back up again, because countless people, Bill, say that when they look at Georgia, they see Alabama from 5 or 6 years ago. That can be interpreted in a lot of ways, but I think it would be pretty easy to interpret just the depth across the board, especially on defense, which Alabama has been good at lately, but maybe not great.
I think Georgia reminds me of earlier Alabama when they had Ingram and Richardson, and then they could just pound you. And it's not like they throw 50 times a game. But then again, Stetson Bennett threw a lot more last year. And your point is exactly right. I mean, I think it's just the across-the-board defensive talent on the interior. You know, Alabama still has that too. They still, we did our big board for next year, for the top 50 big board, there are Alabama guys all over that too, especially in the secondary with Kool-Aid McKinstry and others. But that's where it's going to come down to. And the other thing, Paul, we haven't really talked about is LSU's creeping in there. 37 guys drafted the last 4 years. I think they have the right coach now too.
Well, that's where I want to go next, because it's just the obvious question, is where is LSU under Brian Kelly, other than a really good first season, not perfect, four losses, but one of those was in the SEC championship game, so you really have to adjust that. But what do you see in the West this year? There's Alabama, there's LSU, there's the unknown about Ole Miss, which last year was in the top 10, there's A&M, which started the season in the top 10, what happens?
Well, I think Alabama, LSU, it starts there. LSU, Jaden Daniels, they are confident in their quarterback situation. And they have a tough opener. That Florida State-LSU game is one worth circling in week one because they're going to go at it, have a big game. But, I mean, just year in and year out, they have the NFL talent too. That's kind of the point of that exercise with doing those draft picks every year. Texas A&M's a true wild card to me. Obviously, the Bobby Petrino hire was huge. Connor Wiegman played very well at the end of last year, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions. They've got talent at receiver. They've got talent through recruiting, Paul, but this is a year where it really has to show up coming off that 5-7 season.
Bill, beyond what we've talked about, we've obsessed over the SEC. Let's leave that for now, but nationally, are we talking the usual suspects, the ones that have been up there lately, or is there somebody new to the party?
I think up here, where, as you know, I'm up here in Big Ten country, I think Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, those three teams, one of them is going to win the Big Ten, and one of them will go to the playoff, and those games ought to be very good. And Michigan's on top among that bunch right now. They've got a lot of offensive firepower coming back. J.J. McCarthy, Jim Harbaugh stayed away from the NFL again, and they're on top right now. So I think they're worth watching. USC in the Pac-12, if they can play a little defense between their offense, they're going to be pretty good. And then after that, it's the same. I think it's just the same old suspects. I'm not going there on Texas, even though I think the media will pick Texas to win the Big 12, and I like their offense.
Do they need to win the Big 10 the year before? Excuse me, the Big 12 the year before they head into the SEC? Because Sarkisian has been good. It looks like the program's better. Destroyed Oklahoma, but.
I mean, but they got to start winning close games. 5 losses of 8 points or less the last 2 years. Quinn Ewers looked very comfortable in the spring game. They've got great receivers. A.D. Mitchell from Georgia, nice pickup. They can ease Arch Manning in. But it's for Texas and Oklahoma, this is a big year because you're not just doing the Big 12 farewell tour. You have to recruit your roster and start to build your roster to get ready to play in the SEC because it's not going to be nearly as easy as the Big 12. And Both schools did recruit well, but I think there's more pressure on Texas. It's more visible. Really excited to see what happens when they go to Tuscaloosa. We remember how close that game was last year.
What about Oklahoma? What's happening with Brent Venables' team other than good recruiting? What's this team going to look like? Because last year it was terrible.
It was, and the defense was bad, and they lost 4 of their last 6, and they've got 3 5-star recruits coming in that I think are going to be leaders of the future. But in the present tense, Dylan Gabriel has to stay healthy. Their defense has a lot of guys came in through the transfer portal. So I think that transition long-term wasn't a bad thing. It's just the shock value of seeing them lose so many games last year. Their schedule's pretty friendly up close early in the season. I don't think we'll have a really true read on Oklahoma until they play Texas again, and that's certainly not a game they can lose 49-0 again.
No, indeed. Bill Bender from the Sporting News, always great to catch up with him with a look at everything that's happened over the weekend and looking ahead. We'll take a break. Phone calls the rest of the way at 855-242-7285.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Armin is up next in New Jersey. Hello, Armin. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I just think the SEC is going to fall off after all these quarterbacks getting drafted. I want to know what you hear about that. Also, I think that Anthony Richardson is baby Jamarcus Russell. How do you feel about that?
Well, that is not a compliment, in case anyone's wondering. Jamarcus Russell was the LSU quarterback, went first in the draft, and I think arguably the worst. He and Ryan Leaf are the two worst number one picks ever. Well, Ryan actually went second, excuse me, but they're pretty close.
Oh yeah. What was the last time you said more ridiculous?
Did anyone understand that last question?
No, I have no idea what you said.
Anyway, when was the last time you? And then he kind of went into some.
Is that a college, the last time you?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what that is.
That's what it is.
Pat is up next in California. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Paul, you do a great job for the SEC.
Thank you.
But the parallels between Jimmy Clausen and Tyler Buckner or Erie.
Really?
They're both fine young men. They both went to elite high schools. They're excellent athletes. But when the heat is on, they're not the guy you want to play with. They just are not warriors. A Matt Corral from the same general era would grade it out meaningfully higher than both of them.
Yeah, to me, Matt Corral was again, we're all talking about California guys. I don't think we know everything about Buckner. I mean, we know a little bit. He's in a different setup now, but he has the same offensive coach, which I think is helpful to him. But to me, the one thing I'm concerned about with Buckner is California guy going to Notre Dame, obviously fit in pretty well. Now going to Alabama, it is a different world, and it's a very crowded quarterback room too.
Well, I think the Jimmy Clausen comparison is good. He went to Lutheran Oaks, which was an exclusive school. When he got out of there, he was just another guy.
Great point, Pat. Thank you. Appreciate your call very much. Vance is next in Georgia. Hey, Vance.
It's been happening to me all day, Paul. You're not alone. Trust me, they're out there. They're out there today.
I have a feeling you're right.
Good Lord. Horrifying. Anyway, I've called you before with this same topic. Doesn't mean that I'm to be taken as the word on anything. But Bill Bender said, what's the difference between Georgia and Alabama? You didn't say that. You know what I mean. You hinted at it. And he hit it. Somebody finally said it. Kirby Smart and Nick Saban are the same person. One's just a lot younger than the other. But there's one thing he took from his experience at Alabama that I've seen Alabama missing for quite a few years right now is Kirby Smart has monstrous, very, very productive interior defensive linemen. They've got two true freshmen right now that contributed tremendously last season. Can you imagine? I mean, where's Jonathan Allen, A'shaun Robinson,
yeah.
Deron Payne, Quinnen Williams? I mean, put those guys in the middle with Dallas Turner and Will Anderson on the outside. There's no such thing as a double team. And I think that's what something happened to Nick Saban's mindset of playing football at Alabama that eradicated that. Does that make any sense?
No, I think it does. Now he's come up with very talented deep guys in the backside, but you go back 7 or 8 years and Alabama was fearless in that regard, and also the beginning of his tenure as well as he stockpiled. But I wonder if we haven't come up with the answer. They're going to Georgia.
Well, and you know, and I'm wrong to forget other people that were in that same mold prior to the four I mentioned. And as far as having great defensive backs, well, there's nothing new about that. You know,
Vance, thank you. We're out of time, but a fantastic call. We still have an hour to go. We hope you'll join us. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.